so my name's Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 28th of September 2009 and the time's approximately 1:20 in the afternoon. Can you tell me, please, your name, your age and where you come from?
I can. I'm David Webb. I'm 41 and I live in Lincoln.
Okay, thank you very much. When was it you found out first about the One Another Project?
Okay, I think I saw some kind of press stuff. You know, nothing much happens in Lincolnshire. And I think the first person on was a mother from Sleaford. So I kind of noticed that and visited the website because I was curious. And I thought, well, you know, why not? So I kind of pressed the button and kind of forgot all about it to a certain extent for a period of time. And then lo and behold, I was very excited as well when it came through. Great. Yeah. So here I am.
Yeah, so how did you feel? What was it like then when you received the email to say that you've been allocated?
Yeah, there's a kind of, you know, I'm not one for kind of entering stuff or, you know, certainly not one for showing off or anything like that. And so, you know, I kind of entered with the thought process that I would never get on because there'd be so many people wanting to do it. And I think I got one month went down and of course I wasn't picked. So it was just kind of telling me what I would have expected anyway. And then, you know, I was a bit speechless when it came through and a little bit nervous, and I was kind of clamoring for a long period of time to try and think of something I needed to do up there. And I very much wanted to understand the project from that point on. I've probably known for about 6 weeks or something, I think, before my time on there. And I've been thinking all along, what shall I do, and changing and all this kind of stuff. But I've, you know, it's kind of gone full circle now, and I'm very clear what I want to do up there, and I believe it's right what I am doing, and I think that I'm hoping that that's what the artist had in mind as well when he commissioned this work.
So what is it you decided to do for the duration of the hour?
I'm not going to do very much. I'm going to be. I'd like to stand still for a good period of time. I really love the imagery of the One Another logo, with the guy kind of stood to the right of the image on the plinth, arms by his side, you know, a snapshot of a human being at a certain point in time. And that is kind of, you know, I've kind of logged on a few times and kind of seen people on there, and there's been lots of performance. And you know, as I've thought about it, it's less about trying to be some sort of, you know, performing monkey. God, I'm a piece of art now. You know, I'm going to enjoy. How many people get to be a live statue on Trafalgar Square? So I'm going to kind of open my senses, listen, look, maybe close my eyes a bit as well, and just kind of try and take in the kind of ambience of it all. But while just kind of standing there, I might, you know, I'm going to do some serious contemplation for an hour. You know, when does anybody get the luxury to do that in such a place, you know? So I'm excited by that.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on the artistic concept, the ideas behind the piece?
Yeah, I kind of know of Gormley's work, but only from a kind of surface perspective about how the media portrays it and so on and so forth. But it's, you know, I return back to that thing about there seems to be a lot of performers out there, and it, the more I look at it, the less it seems that it should be about that. You know, I kind of like quirkiness, and I kind of like to inspect people's just manner. And you know, we all like to people watch, don't we, when we're on the tube, for goodness sake. So it kind of feels as though it should be that for an hour, and that's enough. You know, that we're in this age now where everything has to be, you know, so dramatic and so full of packed with incident for periods of time to keep people's attention. I'm not sure that should be the case, and I'm not sure it's true. I think it's the way, you know, kind of society's gone at the moment. But less is more, you know. You know, kind of live large and dream small. That's my kind of thing, you know. So I think, you know, I'm comfortable with doing little, just enjoying it, having some good deep thoughts up there, and taking in what's around me.
Great. So who would you say you're doing this for?
I don't feel as though I'm often selfish, but for goodness sake, it should be about me. You know, who else am I doing it for? You know, this is I'm going to be recorded in time at this point at 41 years old, you know, and that's it. That's going to stay there. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, my family will be happy to look at that in 20 years time and kind of see what sort of guy I was at that point in time. And I think that's fascinating, you know, the stopping of time at a certain point of being able to return to it. So it's for me. And I'm going to be selfish.
And now what about the place, the space, Trafalgar Square in central London?
Comments on that? Well, I'm kind of curious and I'm going to look at it from a couple of perspectives. I used to live in London kind of late 80s into the early 90s, and place was a lot more kind of, how can I put it? What's the right word? I was going to say kind of dirty, but I don't mean dirty because it's not. It was kind of, there was a kind of, a leery element to everywhere you went in London. You weren't quite kind of sure what was going to happen at any minute, and you know, Trafalgar Square then was all about the pigeons and kind of, you know, there was also obviously the same thing, all sorts of people about and everything, but it's so much cleaned up and sanitized now in this year 2009. Things have changed dramatically, you know, probably for the best. You know, when I'm in London now, it does feel like a wonderful city, but from that perspective, I'm just keen to kind of remember back to the late 80s and see what it was like. I still see the traffic trundling around the square, and that feels to me like it's so archaic now in a way that, you know, we've got all these kind of individual vehicles still moving around it. So I'm interested to hear the impact on the environment from the noise of those vehicles, and but also the taking of the space as well from people being able to walk around the square in a broader way. I think it would, you know, be an astonishing gift to people who came to London if they were able to use the space that the roads inhabit.
And what kind of stuff did you get up to in London when you were here first time round?
Okay, so I had one of those, I've kind of feel as I've had a few lives. So I was a bus driver for a while, which was quite spectacular. I learned how to drive Routemasters around Trafalgar Square, which is possibly one of the most daunting points in my life, when on the first lesson he said hop up into the cab and off you go. So that was interesting, so I'll remember that. And then in the great way that you do when you're in your early 20s looking for work in London, you take anything that's going. So I became a bookmaker then, and I managed a Ladbrokes in Hammersmith for a great long period of time, and again, you know, fascinating and great memories that I have because of the lessons I learned from those things. You know, being a bus driver and being a bookmaker set me in great stead for some of the work I've done later on in my life, far more than, you know, a kind of academic institution at that point in my life could have done, I'm sure.
So what is it you've kind of settled on for the time being? What is it you do for a living now?
Okay, so I've always been a bit of an environmental campaigner, but more kind of into localism and sustainability as a whole, and just kind of cleverer living, smarter living. And I'm the regional climate change manager for the East of England now, so I'm able to kind of progress a lot of these ideas that I've got onto a bigger stage. And a lot of the thoughts that I've had through my life are kind of now becoming sort of key points of action from political parties and seen as a clear way forward. So I'm interested to see, I'm not saying that I'm always right, you know, far from it, but I'm interested to see how it progresses now. And I kind of, you know, I want to see more thought put into how we live our lives on this planet as the population dramatically increases as it is doing.
And how did you find yourself in that line of work?
I think it's always been of interest to me. You know, I've always taken an interest in social aspects of life, you know, making sure people can get as much as they can out of society without taking too much, if you know what I mean. I spent, when I left London, actually, I went back to Lincoln and I opened some shops in Lincoln when there was a threat on small neighbourhood shops from supermarkets moving into the city. And that taught me a lot about what places like small shops could give to communities, you know, not just being able to buy a bag of crisps and a loo roll and a packet of Marlboros, but far more than that. You know, I was able to, you know, give fruit to kids, to do meals for old age pensioners, and to kind of be a fulcrum in the community. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to lose stuff like that. But it also taught me a lot about how people are and some of their desires and some of the things that they need in their lives. And I'm hopefully taking that on with my work now. I believe I'm a far more realistic environmentalist than most environmentalists.
And how about then, what's the concept of moving from there to into you know, kind of green issues and that kind of environment?
Yeah, I mean, it's clear now how interconnected we all are with whatever we do. So, you know, as much as, you know, we can sit in here and be two individuals chatting, but essentially we have an impact on everything that we do has an impact on its surroundings and other people throughout lives that we lead. And I'm keen to get people to understand that and seek to find ways that they can live lives with less impact, far less impact, and have a consideration for others. As we do get into a kind of more heavily congested, populated world, how we can begin to think in smarter ways about the things that we do, be more want to understand how other people feel and how other people are affected by the actions that we take. So understand interconnections, understand things like some of the impacts you make that are possibly hidden from us. Does that make sense?
What do you get up to in your spare time?
Okay, I've got a lovely little kid, so I spend time with wife and child. I actually work in Cambridge now and live in Lincoln, so I spend, you know, 5 days of the week in Cambridge and then have to hurry back home at the weekends to be with family. So I spend as much of the time as I can with them. I've got this awful allegiance to my local football team that I just can't shake, and you know, I really want to get rid of it because it really gets in the way of my life. And you know, I still end up being miserable if they don't perform very well on a Saturday afternoon, and it's terrible. I don't like myself doing that, but so I still often go and see them, and I take an interest, and that's it. Again, it's kind of linked to the way I feel about stuff from some kind of sustainability of people's own cities and towns, and kind of supporting a local football club feeds into that kind of thing as well, you know, and trying to make your own area better. So, yeah, just like every other bloke, really. Go and see the wife and watch a bit of footy.
So yeah, I'm sure you've mentioned that. So the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
Yeah, for sure. Family, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, everything I do has that in mind. I'm not a kind of, I don't want a career climb or anything like that. I'm just not interested, but I'm very interested in trying to get some of my points across. You know, I can't kind of rest, so I suppose I'm a campaigner at heart, and I still want to get ideas to people, but I very much want them to be ideas that they work with and take on and develop themselves, rather than me sort of just procrastinating at them, you know. So I'll just carry on being kind of disgruntled and miserable and sounding off whenever I can, and then people can make whatever of it they can do.
What would you say your hopes and fears are for the future?
Oh, God. Now we are getting to the psychoanalysis bit, aren't we? Do you know how honest you want me to be here? I'm scared of death. I'm 41 now, for goodness sake. It's terrible, this ageing process, you know. I just started playing footy again after a gap of 10 years, and my blooming creaking bones and muscles, God, it's terrible. I wish I could, learn what every human being wants to do and slow time down. That would be my hope. You can't go through life being scared, can you? So I think, you know, another hope would be to make sure that I don't get fear as much as some people do through their life, you know. So I'll try and be optimistic and look forward now.
And I guess being here on the square 30 minutes before you go up on the
plinth,
how are you feeling?
I'm feeling absolutely fine. It's neither excited or daunted, particularly. I think that stems from the fact that I'm going to do next to nothing up there. I quite like the thought of having a period of still up there. I don't, you know, get much opportunity for that really in my life, so I'm going to take advantage of my hour of peace.
And what kind of impact would you like your hour or the piece to have as a whole on those that take part, be it those that observe it or those that are actually kind of on top of it?
I think I'd like people to look at it and maybe contemplate the fact that you don't have to do something dramatic to kind of have an impact. You know, the understated rocks, you know. That's the way forward. Don't show off, you know. So I'm kind of, I hope that, you know, certainly when I've seen some of the plinthers on the website, there's been a lot of performance, and I'd kind of like to see more of just people.
So have you got any closing comments, final thoughts on being part of the One Another project?
I think it's a great project, you know, and I've enjoyed being part of it. I kind of wish, you know, returning to what I was saying, that there'd been some sort of stipulation about performance and stuff. I know it's hard to put parameters on something like this, but I kind of want to see the nervous twitches and the kind of what people do without preparation in this sort of thing for an hour or so. And I think that might have led to a more interesting project as a whole. But it's difficult to accomplish, and it's difficult to stop people kind of showing off now and doing stuff for their favourite charity or whatever, because that's the way life is, and I guess that's a fair representation of where we're at in 2009.
Okay, thank you very much.